Open your hymn book. To Psalm 35. That's what it is, isn't it? It's all about Him. It's His book. It's the hymn book. The H-I-M book. A couple of years ago, I was invited to speak to a group of preachers in Michigan. They profess to believe sovereign grace, and they have an organization called the, well, it's such a long name, I can't remember what it is exactly. They have a president and vice president and secretary and treasurer, all those things. And I had gone to a few meetings to try to have a little fellowship with somebody up there. That was, I've never been that far north. I've always been a southerner. And anyway, I went to a few meetings. I'll just tell you this part. First meeting I went to, I got thoroughly aggravated. We had 15 of us there. You ladies will appreciate this. 15 of us there, and after the service was over, they said, now we have dinner for all you preachers in the back. Well, that's good. Went back there and had spaghetti and a salad, a dessert, and a beverage, and a basket at the end of the table that said $5 per meal. I should have known right there. That's a true story. I don't want to see no basket back here. But I'll tell you where, it's worth a whole lot more than $5. But anyway, they asked me to speak. Asked me to speak, and after kind of surmising the situation, having been there a few times and listened to them speak, I selected as my subject Jesus Christ in all the Scriptures. And I just pretty much started at Genesis 1, just mentioned a lot of types in the Old Testament. You know what we've always heard for many years, that the Old Testament says somebody's coming. The Gospels say He's come. The book of Acts says He's gone back to glory. He's ruling and reigning. The Epistles say He's coming back. And that's what I preached. And after the message was concluded, and I got ready to sit down, I said, well, just stay right there. We're going to have a question and answer session. And then you meet. And they started asking me questions. It was unbelievable the kind of questions that these preachers asked. And one of them, I'll never forget, professes to believe sovereign grace. He said, I'm preaching through the history of Israel in the Old Testament. He said, I don't know how you preach Christ out of that. He said, we're learning a lot of history. And I said, I don't know how you can't preach Him. I don't know how you can't preach Him out of the Old Testament. That fly is just a... Well, let me see if I can preach Him out of the Old Testament. And if I can't, just don't even bother to have me back. That's right. If you hear a man one time and he don't preach Christ, that's his fault. If you go hear him again, that's your fault. That's your fault. That's right. You'd be blamed then. First time you didn't know better. You know better. Hear him first time he don't have anything to say. Psalm 35. Psalm 35. As the Lord Jesus Christ is the sum and substance of the whole Bible, So he is the sum and substance of the book of Psalms. Without Christ in the Psalms, they bring us no joy. They soothe no aching hearts. They give us no peace. Take Christ out of Psalms. And all we read of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, is of no delight without a sight of David's son. The sweeter psalmist of God's true Israel. And the psalm before us, Psalm 35. The natural eye reads this and sees David in trouble. David pursued by Saul. David hounded by his enemies. David who was hated and despised. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus, who was despised and rejected of men. Let me read a few verses. Let's see if you can't see him. Let's see if you can't see him. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, Psalm 35, verse 7. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Now look at verse 19. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without cause. You don't have to turn to this. I can prove to you that's speaking of Christ. John 15, the Savior says in verse 25, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without cause. If you had any doubt whatsoever, it's now removed. And we're reading here not about David, but about David's son, the Son of God. Men hated him. And we know that the Sanhedrin hired false witnesses against him. Look at Psalm 35, verse 11. This is how they treated him. Psalm 35, 11. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not, things that I knew weren't true. They weren't so. Verse 12. They rewarded me evil for good. Evil for good. What did he do? Good. What did they give him in return? Evil. He went about doing good. He can't do anything but good. He is good because he's God. Nothing good but God. He's God. Everything he did was good. What did he get exchanged for his goodness? Evil. Verse 13. Now this is how he treated them. Verses 11 and 12 is how they treated him. But verses 13 14 is how he treated them. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I pitied them. I had compassion. I humbled my soul with fasting. And my prayer returned in mine own bosom. Verse 14, how did he behave toward them? I behave myself toward these who so mistreated him and despised him and hated him and rejected him. I behave myself as though he had been my friend. Oh my God, that's how I treated him. I mistreated him so bad up here. Didn't you? These verses up here. That's me. I mistreated him. I didn't love him. I didn't believe him. Wrapped up in false religion, false profession, thought I had Jesus in my pocket. And all the while, he behaved toward me as my friend. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's our Savior. You return good for good. Anybody can do that. That's what the Savior said. He said, I tell you, when they mistreat you, you treat them right. Because that's what he did to us. That's how he treats us. I bow down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. Such compassion, such pity. That part, verse 14, I behaved myself. I looked at that for a while. He's the only man who's ever behaved himself. Only man who's ever behaved himself. Look at verse 15. But in mine adversity, what do you think they did? Show him compassion? They rejoiced. They gathered themselves together. Let's see. It was the Jews and the Gentiles and Herod and Pontius Pilate. They all gathered together. But hang on now. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. But they all gathered together against God's Christ. They gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me. And I knew they didn't have any good cause for it. They did tear me and cease not. Boy, they tore into him. They tore into him. Look at verse 16. With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. They crowned him with thorns. He's the king of the Jews. Every king ought to have a crown. Such mockery. You a king? You see that purple rag over there in the corner? Get that. Let's strip him of his clothes and put that on him. Royal robe for the king. And let's shove a reed in his hand. And we'll all bend the knee. Say, Hail thou king of the Jews. Hypocritical mockers. Gnashing on him with their teeth. I say to you, this psalm rises high above David the son of Jesse. And sets before us Christ the son of God. The psalm divides itself into three sections. They're 1 to 10, 11 to 18, 19 to 28. You go look up Matthew Henry. He'll give you that division. But there's a verse I want to focus in on. And before I read it, I'll say this. It is a great mercy. You get this now. It is a great mercy that in the mind of God, in the will of God, in the purpose of God, and in the view of God, Jesus Christ and His church appear as one. We're together. Ain't that a great mercy? We're together. We're in Him. You said it a while ago. His God's first chosen. We chose in Him. Did he die? We died in him. Was he buried? We were buried in him. Did he rise up? We rise up in him. Is he seated in the heavenlies right now? Yeah, look up yonder. There we are too.
Amen.
We're right there with him.
Yes.
You can't separate the head from the body. We're one. We're one in the will and mind and purpose of God. We're one. Now, in the language of my text, verse 10, the head speaks for all his members. And here's what he's got to say. Here's the head. Christ the Lord speaking for all his members. He says, All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee? Which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him.
Yeah.
Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. Here's my subject. What the bones say. What the bones say. I got 2 points. 2 points. Number one, who are meant by these bones? All my bones. Who are the bones of Christ? Well, they're the members of His body.
Amen.
It's us.
Yeah.
All the elect.
Yeah.
All the redeemed ones. All the called ones. All the believers. And He says all of them are going to say this now. Right. Every last one of them is going to say this. It can't be that there's one bone in opposition. All the bones going to say this. Every single one of them. All right. Well, let's learn a few things about these bones. Look at Psalm 139. We'll just go through a few scriptures here. And you can do just like I've done. Just go get you a Strong's Concordance. And look up the word bone and bones. It's such an interesting study. I'll give you a few of these verses. Psalm 139. Now, in this psalm, after a description of the omniscience of God and the omnipresence of God, a greater than David says in verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins." Psalm 139:13. "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made," speaking undoubtedly of his human body. "Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well my substance." Verse 15, that word substance, if you just move your eyes over to the center column, at least that's where it is in my Bible, it says substance or strength or body.
Yeah.
My body. And I'd like to put another word, my bones. My bones were not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my bones, yet being unperfect. And you know what? They're all written in a book. Every single bone written in a book. And it just wasn't recently written either. These members were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right up there, Moose, at the head of the page is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Lamb's name right up there at the top. There's the head. And look yonder. There's all the bones. And they're all written. All it, every single one of them. Every single one of them. All my members, all my bones were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there's none of them. These bones were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Turn over to the New Testament. Let me show you a passage over here. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. And while you're finding that, I'm going to find something over here in the Old Testament I'm going to read you. If you're taking notes, I'll give you this reference. You turn to Ephesians 5. I want you to listen to this reference in 1 Chronicles 11:1. See what you think this means right here. "Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, and they said, We are thy bones." We're the bone. You're the head. We're the body. We're with you. You're the general. We're the followers. David, we're your bones. Now let's look over here at this greater than David. Look over here in Ephesians 5. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Gave himself willingly, voluntarily. Gave himself as a sacrifice. Gave himself as a sin offering. Our substitute. He gave himself. He gave himself. Well, what did he do that for? Try to save us? Put us in a savable condition? Oh, no. He gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse it.
Yes.
With the washing of water by the word. To do what? That he might present it to himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's how we are in Christ. And someday he's going to present us to the Father. And he's going to do it with unspeakable joy. Here they are. All of them. All my bones. Keep on reading. He says here in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, and no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and what? Of his bones. That's us. Don't you love that? Man, we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. My soul, I'm one of his bones.
All right. Amen.
I may be just a little bitty bone, but I'm in the body. Oh, boy, to be a bone in his body. I'll tell you something else about these bones. They're dead. They're dead, got to be regenerated. And somebody's going to have to preach to them. And over there in Ezekiel 37, the Lord took Ezekiel out yonder to a valley of dry bones. And there's a bunch of them. They're very dead and very dry. Son of man, can these bones live? Lord God, thou knowest. Preach to them. Preach to dead bones. They're my bones. You preach to them. And don't tell them what they've got to do for me.
No.
Huh? You read it. Is that right?
Right.
He said, you tell them what I'm going to do. You doubt. Look at Ezekiel 37. Let's just read it. Let's just read it. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Look at verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy, preach unto these bones. That is ridiculous to the natural man. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How shall they hear without a preacher? You prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and ye shall live. And when you live, you'll know I'm the Lord. That's what you're going to know. So I prophesy. I started preaching. Brother Ezekiel said, I started preaching, and as I was preaching, there's a noise. And behold, a shaking. There's a shaking going on. And the bones came together. The toe bone connected to the foot bone. And the foot bone connected to the ankle bone. And I better not keep on going. We'll have some kind of skeleton here, because I'm not... Bones be out of place for sure enough. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. But hang on. Still wasn't any breath in them. Now, we can get looking better and get assembled in here, and there still ain't no life unless God does something for us now. He's going to have to breathe upon us. Verse 9, he said, prophesy, keep on preaching that, and call on the wind. Oh, call on the wind. Oh, if God would do something. If God would breathe. Oh, God, breathe on these dry bones. Breathe the breath of life. You breathed the breath of life into Adam way back yonder, and he became a living soul. Oh, God, breathe life into some dead dog sinner. He'll live then.
Yeah, he'll live.
Well, how you reckon that's going to happen? Through debating with them and arguing with them, we're going to talk. Just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just tell them who Christ is. Tell him where he is and where he did and why he did and where he is now. And watch the wind blow. Because
yeah.
That's where the wind blows. That's where Christ is being preached. Now that's the only place he blows. I tell you what, you got to stir up a breeze if you don't preach Christ. And that's what's going on in religion today. They're just creating a breeze. They're just fanning it themselves. But our wind is nothing. There's no power in it. Spirit of God's got to breathe.
Yeah.
Oh, he said, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath came into them. They lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Oh, my. He said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We got no hope. We cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I'll open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you're going to know that I'm the Lord when I opened up your grave. You're going to know who did it. They'll all know him. They'll all know him. Yeah, these bones got to be made alive. Here's something else. Look over at Psalm 6:2. These bones are vexed. Psalm 6, verse 2. Oh, God, don't give me what I deserve. God, have mercy upon me. I'm the sinner. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm weak. O Lord, heal me. Heal me. For my bones are vexed.
Yeah.
He's going to vex all his bones. He's going to trouble them. He's going to trouble them. Trouble them about this sin thing.
Yeah.
He's going to teach them. How can a holy God show mercy on you? You such a sinner. So vile. He'll vex us. And when we're vexed, we'll say, have mercy on me. I tell you who needs a Savior. A sinner. You ain't going to need a Savior until you see you're a sinner. Need help. Well, let's see what else I got here. Look at Proverbs 16:24. These bones will hear the gospel and believe. And this gospel will be delightful to God's bones. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words, delightful words. The gospel. Gospel words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. And health to the bones. You talking about health food. We've been eating health food. Last night, this morning, tonight, we've been eating health food. All us bones have. And it's sweet. Good, good. Sweet to the soul, health to the bones. It's good tasting medicine. Good tasting. When I was growing up, my mama had one cure for everything. Cod liver oil. That's the universal cure. That's why I never talk about being sick. He run the range in favor. That's bad tasting medicine. This gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good tasting. Oh, isn't it good? Isn't it sweet? Oh, it don't get no sweeter than this. Don't get no sweeter than this. His righteousness imputed to me. His blood washed me of my sins. God looks on me and sees His Son. When I die, I go to glory and the Lord God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh God, how can that be? The righteous is my Son. That's on your account there.
Amen.
That's on your chart.
Yep.
Well, what's on His chart? Well, my sins was over there. But He erased them. That's the power of His blood. Erased sin.
Erased sin.
Took them away. And I'll tell you this. Here's another one. Look at back at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And I'll start reading verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. I'm so glad. He keepeth all his bones. He preserves them. You look up that word. He hedges them about. And no harm going to come to his bones. That can't happen. We in his hand. He said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. The rest of that says, not one of them is broken. That means destroyed or torn away. Not one of his bones can be torn away from his body. Who can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Is there anything that can tear one of His bones away from His glorious body? Not as long as He's the King on the throne.
Amen. You're right.
You believe in eternal security? If Christ is keeping me, I believe in eternal security. If you keeping yourself, no, I don't believe it. Is that right? Not one of them is broken. Not one of them is going to be torn away from his body. And I'll give you this one. They're all going to wind up in the promised land. Joseph was such a beautiful type of Christ. And on his dying bed, he called all his family and said, y'all gather in now. I got something to tell you. Promise me. Promise me that my bones, all of them, gonna make it in the promised land. You promise? Cross your heart and hope to die. We promise. Exodus 13. Israel's going out. You know what Moses did? Got the bones of Joseph. And over in the book of Joshua 24, there's the bones of Joseph. And every last one of them made it to the promised land. And I'm telling you, all of Christ's bones gonna make it.
Amen.
We're gonna make it. Because Jesus, our forerunner, has done entered in. And he's done staked the claim to our eternal inheritance. And he's a guardian over it. In fact, he is our inheritance. He is our heritage. My time's gone, but can I just show you this? Just give me just a smidgen more time. Right back here in my text. Well, what do these bones say? We know who they are now. Are you one of them? You one of the bones? By God's grace, I am. I believe I'm one of the bones. And all the bones are going to say this. They're going to say two things. They're going to declare the glory of the Lord.
Yeah.
And they're going to declare the greatness of His salvation. All of them going to say that. They may speak different languages, but they're all going to say the same thing. They'll say the same thing. When I went to Almont and encouraged our folks to go to other Bible conferences, they'd go to the Bible conference, they'd come back and say, that preacher's done that. They said the same thing you said. I said, well, it better be. And I better be saying the same thing they're saying. We all send, all God's servants saying the same thing. All God's people believe the same gospel.
Amen.
And look here. Here it is. They declare the glory of the Lord. Lord, who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee? Oh, the true Lord is incomparably great in His existence and in His being. Who's like Him? Is anybody like Him? God and the Father, who's like Him? Who's like Him? Where are your gods, He said? Put your gods up on shelves. David said, the heathen said, David, where's your God? We got our gods. They up on the shelf and they do what we let them do. They go where we let them go. Our daughter and son-in-law, Susanna and Jay, and their little boy, Austin, they're down in Galveston visiting some of his people. And they have these little gods. They set them out and they put food out before them every day. And Austin got to playing with them and knocked them down. Oh, he knocked over our gods. And Jay said, called this person by name and said, what kind of God have you got that my little boy who can knock him over? And what kind of God is that?
What kind of God is that?
Who is a God like our Father? Who is a God like Jesus Christ the Son? Who's like Him? Who's like Him?
Yeah.
Who ranks up there with Him? The angels? Under which of the angels did He say, thy throne, O God, is established forever and ever? To which of the angels did He ever say that? Who is like the Spirit of God? Sovereign, working effectually in the hearts of sinners to bring them to see that Jesus Christ is wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Yeah.
Who's like our God? Who's like the Lord? Who's like the Lord? He's incomparably great in His attributes and perfections, and He's great in all His works, creation and providence. But what about salvation? That's His greatest glory. The Father choosing the people, giving them to the Son. The Son, our surety, standing good for us in that covenant of grace, our representative, coming down here living a life of righteousness, loving God with all His heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving His neighbor as Himself, working out a garment of righteousness for us,
yeah.
Went to the cross of Calvary, all the sins of all of His elect laid on Him, heaped on Him, and then the justice of God was poured out on Him till He drank dry that bitter cup, and justice said, well, that's all the justice I've got. That's all the wrath I've got. And Christ said, well, it's finished then.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's finished. It's done. It's done. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's raised by justification. Oh, he's great. Who is like unto thee? Lord, who is like unto thee? And then here's this last one. The bones declare the greatness of his salvation. Look at this. And you can work on this later. Which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for it. Man. The poor and the needy from him that spoiled. He delivered us from the justice of God. Boy, I tell you, that's too strong for us. Too strong. He delivered us from the bondage of Satan. Satan too strong for us. He delivered us from sin. That's too strong. How are you going to get rid of sin? Are you going to cry a while? Will that get rid of him? That ain't going to do it. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament couldn't even put one away. You weeping for 10 minutes, you think that's going to do it? Coming down the aisle here and falling down and crying right here, oh, I hope my sins will be removed from me. How are you going to get them away? It's too strong for us. That's so heavy, they'll sink us down to the lowest hell.
Yeah.
He took them. Took them away. They're gone. They're gone. Oh, but they'll be raised up to judgment against you, won't they? Oh, you're wrong. I remember a preacher saying, there you go, like a big projector, going to put it on a big screen. The Lord's going to run a projector and show all the sins of your life. That's a lie. That's a lie. They're gone. God said of his Israel, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That rings throughout eternity. I'm free. Thank God I'm free. I told our folks the other Wednesday night, I said, you looking at a sinner? Man, I'm a worm. Oh, I'm so vile. But look at me smiling. I'm forgiven. I go home and sleep at night. Oh, you're a sinner, aren't you? Yeah, I am. But I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Can you enter into that? Boy, that gives you some rest on it. That gives you some peace. And he delivered us from self. Self's too strong for it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he delivered us from death.
Yes.
Death's too strong for the poor and the needy. But listen to this. He hath abolished death. That's what it said. He hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Yeah.
And listen to this verse. Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Oh, death! Listen to this. Oh, death! I will be thy plague. Don't you love that? Oh, death! I'll be thy plague. Oh, grave! I'll be thy destruction.
Amen.